It's time for another episode of Sink or Swim, the podcast that helps you keep afloat in the sea of business marketing options. Learn what other business owners are doing to keep their businesses thriving and growing, and what almost sunk their ship. Join the voyage as Red Canoe Media owner Will Hanke and his daughter Amber wade through the waters to get you the booty you deserve. Wow, that was a lot of nautical references in three sentences.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Sink or Swim. My name is Will Hanke. With me, as always, is Amber. Amber, how are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. So today on the broadcast, we've got everybody's favorite attorney, right? His name is Brian Rogers, and he is a business attorney here in the St. Louis area. Brian, thanks for jumping on.
Oh, sure. Thanks for having me. It's my pleasure.
Excited to have you. So you mentioned before we get started that you're in Florida today. So it is it's November here in St. Louis. It's probably in the mid 50s, I'd say. Mm-hmm. So, and I heard you were struggling with it being 80 degrees.
Yeah, it's kind of hot out there. I haven't worn anything but shorts in about 6 days. So
that's awesome. That's terrific. So it's nice to be able to get away from the business. But from what I understand, you're still working at the same time.
Yeah, well, you know, for you, I'll take a little break from vacation.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. So, well, let's jump in and do some of the questions here. Before we get really started, why don't you go ahead and give me the 2-minute elevator pitch about your business?
Sure. I'm a business lawyer and a sole practitioner. I set up my own shop. I went full time about a little over a year ago, May of 2015. And I focus on helping buyers and sellers of small businesses navigate the legal aspects of their transactions, and also do kind of general business law, you know, review contracts and just answer legal questions that come up in the day-to-day operation of people's business. So probably your smallest business that you will have on this year.
Yeah, so I guess that means no employees, or do you have any contractors?
I do have a part-time administrative assistant, and she came on board in April. And about the same time, I also started outsourcing my bookkeeping. So, but I still take out the trash, go to the post office, go to the bank. So,
nice.
You know, kind of typical solo entrepreneur type situation where if anything gets done, unless Nancy's doing it, I'm probably doing it myself.
Yeah. Okay. So you got her about a year in, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
just under a year. Yeah.
What made you start searching for a VA?
Well, I was just pulling my hair out. And if you see my mugshot, that's kind of dangerous
because
I lost most of that a while back. But no, I was just really busy. And, you know, as a solo business owner, you're, you know, you have so many different responsibilities and you're pulled in so many different directions. And, you know, I just got to the point where things that I really wanted to happen weren't happening. And so I decided that, I looked at possibly adding another lawyer or, you know, what would be the best type of work to get help with, and decided that the administrative things would be the best place.
And has that worked out well for you so far?
Yeah, it's been amazing. I couldn't be happier. And, I think about every hour that Nancy does is an hour that I don't have to do, and it's, or that I could do other things, you know, and it really is, it's been great. So,
yeah. How has the, knowledge transfer gone for you?
It's gone really well. When I started the firm, one of the things that I wanted to do is focus on process and continuous improvement and really externalize the things that I do. In the mergers and acquisitions world, a lot of times, a lot of the knowledge is in the head of, you know, the attorneys.
Yeah.
And, the processes aren't written out. You don't really have checklists and those types of things. And so part of my business plan involved getting things out of my head, not just the legal stuff, but you know, everything that all the processes of the business, systematizing them, and then going through a process of continuous improvement where, you know, look at things that are working well and things that aren't and improve them. And so, fortunately, Nancy is just a great fit for that. She's very process oriented. And so the things that she works on, we've been able to make, you know, checklists and different things so that it's not just in her head, not just in my head, but it's this external, you know, the knowledge of that's involved with what she does is outside of people's heads. So yeah, that's worked really well. And she was a perfect fit for that because of her natural personality, I think.
That's awesome. As you know, Amber works with me, and this is probably what, your third year, mm-hmm, I guess. And I hate to admit it, but this is coming up on my 20th year in business. And when she started, basically, it was, okay, open up Word, and I'm going to show you how to do this, and then you're going to create a process. So,
yeah.
Unfortunately, it took me 17 years to do what apparently you started out doing from the start.
Well, I kind of had to. I'm sure you have experienced the same thing where it's amazing that, you know, things get done and they get done well. From my perspective, it seems automatic now. It just, things happen and it's just wonderful because I didn't do them and they're being done right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's terrific.
So what made you want to be a business lawyer?
Well, I was kind of in a dead end job and needed to do something else. I was an editor before I went into the law, and I worked for a small book publisher, and the project I was working on was coming to an end, and I didn't want to really, as much as I enjoyed the field of publishing and in editing, I needed to do something else, I thought, and so I I started looking around at other career paths. And I had spent so long on that career path, I hated the thought of having wasted that time. And so I looked for something that would take the skills that I had developed as an editor and apply them to my new field. And so I thought that law would fit that bill. So I like the intellectual aspects of it. But yet the law is not academic in the sense that even though there's, you know, intellectual issues and matters involved, there's real people behind them and real problems. It's not just academic questions. And so that really drew me to it.
So,
plus the editing and writing aspect of the law.
So after being an editor, did you go back to school?
I did. Yeah, I went to law school and at the University of Missouri in Columbia. And really, I don't know, I remember when I was an undergrad at the University of Oklahoma, every now and then I would have, you know, an adult student in my class. And I now was kind of the adult student. You know, I was 9 years older than I would have been if I'd gone straight through law school after my undergrad. And it was wonderful. I loved law school. And after, you know, having a salary job for a while, the flexible schedule was great. And in law school, you basically go to class for 4 months and then have one test. And that's it. And that's your whole grade. And for me, that suited me to a T. So I was able to set my own schedule as far as, you know, studying and all that. And I don't know, having it all right on one test could be a little daunting, but it worked out okay. So I enjoyed that schedule. So
yeah, that'd be a little scary to me.
Yeah, well, I tell you, if you, things have to line up at that point, you know. I mean, you don't have to know anything for 4 months, but you better know it for that 4 hours.
Right. So, well, you know, this is a marketing podcast, so let's talk a little bit about marketing your business.
Sure.
When you first started your business, did you have a marketing plan in place?
In a sense, I had in my mind what I wanted to do, and I'd put a business plan together, a written business plan, and marketing was a part of that. And but as far as step by step and you know, real strategy, you know, pretty much fell short of that. But my intention, I'd started a blog called The Contracts Guy at the beginning of 2011. And so, you know, 4 years or so before I started my firm. And the reason I started the blog was I had moved from a corporate firm that has a pretty good brand name in St. Louis for, you know, corporate law stuff, which is what I did. And I'd moved to an insurance defense firm that was trying to branch out into corporate law. And so even though they had a good brand name for their area, it was non-existent in my area.
Interesting.
It was meaningless. And so I realized really quickly that not having that brand behind me was a real handicap as far as, you know, my business development efforts. And so I started the blog with the thought that, you know, when I'm sitting across from somebody at a, you know, coffee meeting or something like that, trying to get to know each other and tell them about what I do, I'd be able to point to my blog and, you know, I'd put up maybe a dozen posts so that they could see that I knew what I was talking about, because I didn't have the benefit of that brand name. So that's where I kind of got started in, you know, marketing per se. You know, the purpose of the blog was never to draw traffic or to get people to call me to engage my services, but more just for that reputation enhancement aspect. So I also am a big fan of social media and Twitter. I tweet at the Contracts Guy and LinkedIn, and you know, felt like I sort of knew how to use it a little bit as far as building relationships and a little bit of presence in that space. And so that kind of Web 2.0 approach was one prong of my two-pronged approach to marketing that I had in mind.
Right.
And the other part was just kind of traditional business development activities that, you know, most professionals do, as far as, you know, meeting people, you know, shaking hands and speaking and writing and just, you know, your typical stuff that most professionals probably do when they think about business development.
Interesting. So how did you get your first client?
It, boy, my first client, I don't remember how they came to me. No, I do remember. Actually, it was, she was the daughter of a client that I had done pretty extensive work for. They were a local company in St. Louis who had been engaged by a national franchisor to update their buildings. So they were putting new fascia and, I mean, all their buildings, repainting them, new purchase and sale signage and all that stuff.
Right.
And so my firm had been engaged to negotiate the contract with this franchisor, and I was the one that did it. And so his daughter basically was wanting, she was, you know, just graduating from college and wanting to start a business. And so I helped her, you know, set up her LLC. So that was the first client that I had.
That's pretty cool though.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. It was, you know, it also at a large firm, the work that I did for her wasn't typical of what I did generally. And it was really a bit nerve-wracking and invigorating. It was, you know, having to answer questions in the way that she needed. I mean, it was, I guess before I always had kind of a slice of the work that we were doing for the client, but in this case, it was the whole relationship and all the legal needs that she had. I mean, she was looking to me to help her out. And so it was really good experience from just kind of the client management perspective and, you know, learning what it is that lawyers do. You know, it's not just about reviewing contracts or negotiating or whatever, but it's helping people solve their business and legal problems. So that was, it was a really good experience for sure.
So what was your first marketing win, and did you do it on purpose or did it just happen?
Well, I think in a sense, I would say my contracts guy blog was a marketing win, and it was pretty much accidental. I just didn't, all I was doing was trying to put up a website that would have a few articles so people could, you know that I knew what I was talking about. But what I didn't anticipate was that, you know, Google would find it and like it. And so I've got a couple of articles. One's on kind of a esoteric but very common legal issue called the Battle of the Forums, and I couldn't find a good article on it, just kind of explaining it, you know, just a tutorial 101 type approach. And so I wrote it myself, and that one post has had something like 250,000 views.
Oh, wow.
And I have people, I mean, I've had a number of law students, you know, email me saying, thanks. This really saved me in my finals. And, in fact, just this afternoon, I had a lawyer from, Illinois call me to talk about those issues. And so it's really cool to see that, you know, people read what you write and they, gain a lot of, comfort in your level of expertise and whatnot. So, but, so that, that's, it's kind of a win, I guess, from the perspective of something working, but as far as ROI and whatnot, it's just not really there. You know, even the lawyer I talked to this afternoon, you know, she hasn't hired me, and I doubt that she will, at least not for, you know, the issues that she was, asking about today. So, but, from on the other side, though, what has been effective is kind of the ground game and your traditional business development activities. And so my first win on that, when I first joined this insurance defense firm that I mentioned, I went from just building business internally, like I just mentioned, you know, this kind of family member of a client of the firm, or just kind of accidental clients came my way, to finding myself in a role where I just had true business development responsibilities, and it was my job to bring in clients. But I hadn't built a network. I was starting from scratch, and so I remember going to a coffee the second week that the week after I joined that firm. And I met somebody who was a young guy out of business school, and we clicked. And so, you know, we kept up with each other, have coffee every now and then. He introduced me to a loan broker, and I had I made a presentation, and this young guy that I'd had coffee with several times, we were talking one day, and I said, you know, I'd like to do this presentation. And we basically agreed that I would do the presentation and host it, and he would bring the people. And one of the people was this loan broker who introduced me to a banker who introduced me to one of her colleagues who specialized in SBA loans, who left that bank and went to another one who eventually hired me. So it was like 5 or 6 degrees of separation and 2.5 years of time. It was a great client and one that I still have now. So, I view that kind of as my first real, business development success. Now whether you consider that marketing or not, I have no idea, but, you know, for me, that's definitely one of the ways that business comes into my firm.
I'd say it was, networking is all part of marketing ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
So do you still blog?
I do, not nearly as much. as I did. I kind of described the dynamic of being pulled in so many different directions, and it's time consuming to blog. I've got a million ideas. I really enjoy it. I like writing, and it really suits me well. But on the other hand, it does take time, and so I don't blog nearly as much as I would like to. So after I started my firm, I did go, a decent period of time without blogging at all, really. And it's kind of painful not to do that because I really do enjoy it. So yeah. One reason I don't blog as much is, particularly being a lawyer, I've got geographical problems because I'm licensed in Missouri and I'm licensed in Illinois, but if I publish a blog, it's going to go throughout the country. And I mean, really, anyone with internet connection, who's, doing Google searches with the terms that are in my piece, that speak English. And so I tend to get calls, from California or Massachusetts or whatever. And I just can't, because of licensing issues, I can't help them. And so that's one thing that I have to weigh as a professional who's got this geographical issue is, if I do blog, and I generate calls, is it going to be worth the time that it takes to field the calls and all that versus the true prospects that are going to be calling me?
Makes sense. Yeah. What kind of marketing efforts are working for you right now?
The, most of it is, the two prongs. I've really put my energy in the past year on the traditional business development prong as opposed to the web 2.0. And it's really amazing how well a good referral network can work. And, people, most of my clients, I'm first introduced to them when they call me from out of the blue and they say, I'm buying a business or I'm selling a business. I've got a deal struck in principle and so-and-so told me to call you because I don't have a lawyer. And so, it takes a ton of work, a ton of time, to, build that, those relationships and to establish trust with people, and an awareness of what you do so that it leads to those conversations. But, it feels like magic, when it actually happens.
All right, what kind of things are you doing online? You mentioned Twitter and LinkedIn. Are you using those for business purposes or?
Yeah, pretty much just business. Although I don't, it's hard to mix or separate business from pleasure, I think, when you're an entrepreneur.
Right.
My handle on Twitter, I set it up in connection with my blog. The things that I'm interested in, the people that I follow are people that, tweet links to articles about business issues or legal issues or those sorts of things. And that's what you'll see from my feed if you follow me. And it's pretty much the same on LinkedIn. I know people have, there's more than one approach to LinkedIn and your connections. And I know some people who use it as kind of their trusted network. And so they try to limit their connections to just people that they basically would recommend to other people, that they know well. For my perspective, I see myself more as a content creator and publisher than anything. And so to me, LinkedIn connections are potential audience members. So, if I publish a piece on LinkedIn or if I, send out a link to an article that I think is interesting or to one of my own blog posts, the more the merrier as far as eyeballs looking at that. So, and one thing about LinkedIn that I do like is it sort of, as opposed to Twitter, it helps with the geographical problem because it tends to be, even the way I use it, I tend to accept invitations from anyone that has a connection with St. Louis or my areas of interest, as long as they don't seem to be people that are just going to, you know, my next communication from them is going to be some kind of spammy message. But but what I have noticed is I've had a number of people over the years say, yeah, I see your posts. And so, you know, my time on LinkedIn, I think, is well spent, just because there's a lot more possibility that the people that I'm connected with there and who are exposed to my content are, you know, people that I could actually do business with from a legal perspective.
Yeah. I think it also, it does a couple things. It establishes your authority, you know, in what you do. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, if somebody maybe has heard your name or been referred to you, they can go back to something like LinkedIn and see that this guy, you know, kind of like your blog, this guy knows what he's talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And it really is amazing how much confidence people can have in you just by reading what you write. It never ceases to amaze me.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. So have you got any business from Twitter, or is Twitter more of just an outbound sharing method?
I have gotten business from Twitter. There, in fact, I had a lawyer in Florida and a lawyer in California both DM me leads, referrals, basically within 30 minutes once.
Wow.
Although, you know, it's never happened like that. it's definitely an outlier. But they both hired me. And so definitely there's been some ROI just from a, you know, dollars and cents perspective. One thing about LinkedIn is the way I use it, at least, it's very relational, and you get to know people. You know, I've had people CC me on tweets, asking my opinion, or vice versa. You know, get into conversations about you know, something that's of interest to us both or all of us. And so there's really a relationship aspect to that. And so it's been fun to get to know people, and you know, obviously Florida and California and Washington and Texas and the UK, you know, some of my Twitter, you know, quote friends are also people who have blogs too. And so we kind of share that interest. So
it's a good networking, a network to have, you know, especially when, you know, like you said, you might get a call for something that you can't handle license wise. So it's nice to have, you know, some people that you at least know or trust a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
What marketing trends or tactics do you see other businesses doing that you wish you could take advantage of?
Yeah, I would. You know, one thing that I really like is some brands can really build a community around their brand. And, you know, they tend to be more consumer oriented and, you know, a lot more exciting than the contracts guy, you know, but, I think that would be really cool to be able to do that, to generate interest around your brand, build a community around that brand. I think that would be fun. I have no idea how a law firm would do that. Particularly, you know, B2B law firm like mine. But that'd be cool. I wish I could.
So are you talking like a private community, like behind a blocked Facebook page or something, or a forum?
No, not that so much as, I guess an example would be, there was a startup, or still is, in St. Louis. It was a beer. I guess they marketed themselves as the Keurig of beer. And so they developed this packaging that looks a lot like, you know, if you've ever bought boxed wine and, you know, taken the little bladder out of the box so you can get that last glass. Their packaging looks kind of like that, but they solved this problem that breweries have in as far as freshness, because, you know, you've got your keg, you've got your bottle, you've got your growler that's, you know, kind of in between. As soon as you open that up, it goes stale in 2 or 3 days. But so they had this countertop beer dispenser, with these, you know, bladders of microbrew or whatever in there. But anyway, so the founder of that did what was, I believe at the time, the most successful Kickstarter campaign in the St. Louis area. He raised over $500,000, far exceeded his goal. And one of the reasons it was so successful is because he built a community among private, you know, small microbreweries across the country, and, you know, built relationships with them through Facebook. And he laid all this ground, he and his team laid all this groundwork before they kicked off the Kickstarter campaign. And they just had this community of people that have this interest, and to me that just seems really cool what he was able to do, and just the community around not just his brand, but, you know, the whole subject matter of what his business is about.
That's pretty cool. I think I actually have one of those in my garage.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah, I had it for maybe 4 months, and I lost the charger to the battery pack or whatever.
Oh,
so,
no.
You know, it just gets relegated to a shelf in the garage.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Let's talk about your competition. What kind of things are they doing that has grabbed your attention lately?
I got to tell you, I am very fortunate in the fact that the bar is really low in the legal field. We're just not marketing people, I don't think. You know, if you go to a typical website of a corporate firm or, you know, a competitor, it's hard to really see what the firm's about. You know, what distinguishes it from its competition. It's hard, unless you really concentrate, it's hard a lot of times to even figure out what they do specifically. You know, there's the bios of the attorneys tend to have just bullet point after bullet point of, I do this, I do that, I do this, I do that.
Right.
Not a lot of competition, although I also have to say that I think, you know, legal services are just not an emotional service. You know, how you would effectively market what I do is, you know, I just think it'd be very, it's not as easy as maybe some of these consumer facing brands that are, there's just excitement around the whole subject matter of what they do. I mean, contracts are wonderful. I enjoy them. But, you know, the average person has to be careful. They'll fall asleep and get a paper cut if they're reading it. So how do you make that, you know, where's the pizzazz?
Yeah.
But, so I don't know. I don't, as far as what other folks are doing, I guess I see what other industries are doing, and it's interesting. Partly I wish I could, you know, do some of it, if I could figure out how to translate that. Now part of the problem obviously is I'm, you know, too much of a, you know, do-it-yourselfer at the moment. I'm sure, you know, there's professionals out there that could show me the way. But
yeah, I guess you also run into a lot of issues where, you know, you can't have things taken as legal advice, and there's all these disclaimers you have to, you know, have. That probably plays into a lot of the fact that, you know, maybe you're not doing a lot of that outbound stuff.
Yeah, you do have to be careful. You know, it's pretty well established that you can talk about the law and what the law is, what it means. Where you run into trouble is where you start applying law to facts. So, you know, on several of my blog posts in the comment section, someone will ask me a specific question about, you know, particular fact situation, and you can definitely get into trouble if you start doing that. But as far as, you know, the legal concepts and that sort of thing, or hypotheticals, you know, it's not that difficult. But yeah, you always have to. I guess one of the fears I have is, you know, writing something that I don't want the other person in a negotiation to have read. You know, this is my strategy, or these are good arguments in this situation. And before you know it, they're, you know, the competition knows what's in your head, which is maybe not the best. So
what has been your biggest challenge landing customers?
I would say, it's more getting the message out than anything, I guess. I don't have, advertising programs going on, and, as far as even the social media things that I'm doing, it's just me right now. So, there's only so much time to proactively identify people and try to get your message out to them. So I think that's the biggest thing. It's kind of chicken and egg. If I had enough revenue, I could hire people, but in order to get that revenue, you've got to do the work to bring it in. And then once you do, since I'm a solo, I've got to do the work too. So it's kind of that virtuous or vicious cycle that I'm just working my way through. So I guess time, lack of expertise. I mean, I definitely listen to people, who have marketing expertise and, pick up the pointers that I can and that sort of thing.
Yeah. I think there's an issue where, like you said, since you're kind of doing the business development stuff, there's a lot of time required to go meet people and do the networking stuff just so you can maybe, pop up in their head 6 months or a year from now.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I heard someone say once that you can't schmooze efficiently. And that's very true of business development. It takes time, and it's time well spent, and it's very enjoyable. I'm a people person. I like meeting people and talking to them about their businesses or, their lives. I mean, it's very enjoyable. But it's also time consuming.
Yeah.
And then when you're successful, you got to do the legal work. So.
Yeah, you got to do the work.
So. Right.
So do you have a marketing thing that you did other than what you've already mentioned that seemed to work really well for you?
Not really. Hopefully we'll do this in a year, and I'll have a great story for you.
That'd be great.
Not really. I mean, it's just, it's business development, old school wise, it's a long game, and it takes the basic blocking and tackling and, just stick with building relationships, getting to know people, and, being a good resource for them, and then, of course, doing good work for people that do happen to hire you. So.
Makes sense.
So, if money were no object, what is the craziest marketing thing you'd like to launch?
This may not be crazy, and it, kind of has the pizzazz that you expect out of a business lawyer, maybe. But when I started my firm, I wanted my website to be a resource for. I wanted it to be just a kind of a place of knowledge for every aspect of buying or selling a business. So I knew that, not everybody who came to my website would be prospects. There'd be people who are do-it-yourselfers or whatever. So I thought, the three audience members that I would have would be those folks that just, hopefully would read my stuff and learn something and take that with them, even though they wouldn't ever really help me economically. And then another category would be people who are in the business, business brokers, SBA lenders, CPAs, others who, could benefit from, the articles and whatnot on my website. And then the third, of course, would be prospects who might actually hire me. But what I would love would be to have, to Right. Blog posts, FAQs, have videos, just everything you could possibly need to know about buying or selling a business, and have my website be just the place to go for that kind of information. It would take a tremendous amount of time and effort and money to do that. But I think it would be, you know, valuable to the community that I serve, and would also enhance, you know, the reputation of my firm as being expert in that field. And, you know, I think it also be successful in actually bringing clients in.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned earlier about, you know, building your brand and making your brand something that's recognizable. That would fit right into that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Brian, I appreciate you coming on today. If people want to know more about your business, where can they go?
Sure, they can. Probably the easiest way to find me is just go to my website at bluemavenlaw.com. And it's M-A-V-E-N is the Maven part.
Yeah, we'll put that in the show notes as well. And okay. The blog that you referred to is thecontractsguy.com?
Yes, well, .net.
.net. And does it have an S for after contracts?
Yes, thecontractsguy.
Thecontractsguy.net.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Or you could just Google how to sign a contract. Show up on the first page.
So, oh, very nice.
Yeah. Well, for now.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Well, listen, I appreciate you being on today. We've got some terrific information. I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, no problem. Well, you get back out there to enjoy that Florida weather, and I'm going to go crank the heat up a little bit.
Sounds good.
All right, Brian. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
All right. My pleasure. Take care.
All right.
You've been listening to the Sink or Swim podcast, where business owners share their marketing successes and failures. Please leave us a review on iTunes and get all of our show notes at redcanoemedia.com/SOS.